The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. When you come together with God's people, something wonderful happens. Because we're told in Psalm 22:3, He inhabits the praises of His people. And when you worship God, you're doing what God created you to do.
Worship plays a key role in God's plan for believers. And today, Pastor Greg Laurie says we need to embrace it fully.
From Genesis to Revelation, our faith is one of worship. And in heaven, we're going to sing. So get in practice now.
This is the day when the lost are found.
In a day of virtual connections, you can visit a church nearly anywhere on the planet. Bring a live service right onto your home computer or right onto your smart device. But isn't it better to bring ourselves to the service than bring the service onto our phone? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us see God's plan for the church. We'll see worship is an integral part of encouraging and training the body of Christ and helping us find the hope and the accountability we need.
The church is for every Christian, and every Christian should be in church. Well, some say, come on, Greg, I'm not into organized religion, okay? Okay, what are you into then? Disorganized chaos? I mean, what is organized religion? It's a false dichotomy. I'm not into organized religion. Well, what do you mean by that? There has to be structure and order. God is a God of order. He establishes the church. He establishes absolutes we live by. He establishes leadership. In fact, the Bible even says, let everything be done decently and in order. So to say I'm not into organized religion, I don't think of this as organized religion. This is a place where we can encounter God as His people, and we follow a clear biblical template that I'll identify for you in just a moment. But they'll say, well, I can commune with God when I'm surfing or golfing or hiking or doing whatever. I'll just talk to God there. Well, I hope you will. You should talk to God everywhere you go. And that's a good thing to do. But don't do that in the place of the church. Listen, you need the church, and the church needs you. Here's what God says, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So this isn't a 21st century problem only. It was even happening in the first century. But rather we should be exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord. In other words, because Christ is coming back, we should be gathering together as His people. A more modern translation puts it this way. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worship together, as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. But some people treat church like it's a movie theater, right? And now they have the new trend in theaters is you can get these reclining seats. You ever been to one of those? Pretty nice, actually. Problem is, I get in those seats, I fall asleep. So it becomes a very expensive nap, actually. But when my wife and I go to a movie, which is not all that often, but when we do go, we like to get popcorn and Milk Duds. That's our thing, right? Sweet and savory. And I'll honestly admit to you, I smuggle water into the theater. I don't hide it, but it's in my back pocket. And so we walk in and with my smuggled water. And so, maybe we're late. And I'll say, Kathy, we got to get in the theater. The movie's starting. She'll say, I have to get popcorn and Milk Duds. I said, look at the line. She goes, I have to get it. I said, all right, hurry. And so I'm in the seat and here goes the trailers. The trailers are done. Here's the movie. It's starting. Here's the title. Here's the music. They're establishing the whole, foundation of the story now in the movie. Kathy finally shows up and then she sits down and she's like looking at the popcorn. I'm like, stop looking at the popcorn. Look at the screen. Because you're going to ask me 5 minutes later, who's she? Look, it's being a step. Am I the only one here? Come on. Look at the screen, Kathy. I paid money for this thing you're looking at. And, you know, so we can be that way with church. Oh, we get there late. Oh, well, you know, it's all right. We'll miss the warm-up act. Is that what you think worship is? The warm-up act. These folks, these very gifted and skilled musicians, are here leading us in prayer, set the song. These people are helping us to glorify God. That's one of the reasons the church exists. They're worship leaders. That's why we don't call them rock stars. They are rock stars. I know they're rock stars because Hans says that to me every time I see him. He says, yeah, I'm a rock star. Yeah, whatever. Okay, no. But, you know, sir, I'm joking. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm the greatest rock star. So just, no, he doesn't say that either. But, I mean, these folks are here to lead us in worship. Why would you be late for that, you know? And then when a message starts, we need to engage. We need to connect. We need to participate, not merely as a spectator, but as a participator, you know? And I'll take it a step further. Not only should you be a part of a church, you should be a part of a local church. Now, turn to Acts chapter 2. And the reason I don't want to look at this is the first century church. Remember, Jesus started the church, and so this is very close to what he wanted. And we're going to see a lot of important principles. In fact, these are sort of foundational scriptures for our church that we have functioned by ever since our beginning, well over 40 years ago. Here's what the early church did. Acts 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So continuing daily, notice the word daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their bread with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Stop there. So this is the church that turned its world upside down. No social media. Thomas did not tweet. Peter did not have a Facebook page. Paul didn't have a TV show. Matthew wasn't on the radio. No, they did this all word of mouth. They changed their world. How did they do it? I've summed it up in a simple acronym, W-E-L-L, well. Well, W, they were a worshiping church. E, they were an evangelistic church. L, number one, they were a learning church. L, number two, they were a loving church. Well, worshiping, evangelizing, learning, and loving. You want to be a well Christian, be a worshiping Christian. Be an evangelizing Christian. Be a learning Christian. Be a loving Christian. You want to be healthy in the church, do the same thing. Here's the thing. Let's start with point number one. They were a worshiping church. Verse 47, praising God. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Listen to this. When you come together with God's people, something wonderful happens. Because we're told in Psalm 22:3, he inhabits the praises of his people. Now look, God's omnipresent, which means he's present everywhere at the same time. But he manifests his presence. He reveals himself. And a special and unique way when we gather together for worship and Bible study. Make no mistake about that. So when you unplug from that, you're missing out on a significant thing that God wants to do in your life. And when you worship God, you're doing what God created you to do. From Genesis to Revelation, our faith is one of worship. And in heaven, we're going to sing. Revelation 15 says, and this is a glimpse into heaven. It says, I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea were those who had been victorious over the Antichrist, and they held harps, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, singing, great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Yeah, worship. We're going to be doing it in heaven. So get in practice now.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
We love hearing from our listeners, whether it's a short word or telling us what's going on with them. We read every word.
Dear Pastor Greg, I appreciate how you make your sermons so realistic and applicable. I believe that's how the Lord uses you to reach the hurting and the lost. Without a doubt, they can relate to your situation, your hard life. And sometimes, that's what people need to hear. Keep preaching and reaching.
It's such a blessing to hear from listeners who take time to express their appreciation. Would you share your story? If so, call and leave us a message at 1-866-871-1144. That's a special number, 1-866-871-1144.
Today, Pastor Greg is bringing a message called How to Go to Church. We're learning the importance of worship. Pastor Greg pointed out it's something we'll be doing in heaven. Let's continue now.
But sometimes they say, well, I don't feel like worshiping today. You know, I'm not in the mood to worship today. Well, here's a biblical response. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Two things, sacrifice of praise, fruit of your lips. Number one, sometimes praise is a sacrifice. I don't feel like worshiping the Lord. I'm not in the mood. Who cares if you're in the mood? God's still worthy of your praise, isn't he? So give him the sacrifice of praise. Number two, the fruit of your lips. What does that mean? Verbalize. Well, I don't like to really express myself, you know, with emotion. You know, I will scream like a maniac during the Super Bowl game, but in church, I just like to stand there and do nothing. That's my form of worship. Is it? God says, offer the sacrifice of praise. It urges you to lift your hands. It urges you to lift your voice. You should verbalize it. You know, you could say it's true of marriage. You know, you love your wife. When's the last time you told her? Well, I told her on the day I married her. If I change my mind, I'll let her know. Are you really that stupid? Yes, I am. I think she'd appreciate it if you just said, honey, I love you. You're beautiful today. And the wife should do the same for the husband. I appreciate you. Thank you for all that you do. Verbalize it. The Lord wants to hear you verbalize your praise. Well, doesn't God know I love him? Yes, but he says he wants to hear you proclaim it. So the Bible tells us also, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy endures forever. It doesn't say give thanks to the Lord when you feel good. Listen to this. Did you know that your worship is a witness? Your worship is a witness. Look at verse 47. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. There is a definite connection there. When non-believers see believers give praise to God when things are hard, it's a powerful testimony. You're being watched everywhere you go. People know you're a Christian. And so they go, okay, let's see how the Christian treats his wife. Oh, let's see what kind of life the single Christian lives here. Oh, well, let's see how hard the Christian works. Oh, let's see what kind of a student this Christian is. Oh, let's see how this Christian drives. You're being watched. And really, honestly, non-believers don't probably want you to succeed. They want you to fail so they can pull out their favorite word. Oh, look at that. They went 1 mile over the speed limit. Hypocrites. Right? But then you mess with their narrative when you give praise to God and you live a godly life and when you can rejoice even when things are bad. Oh, you know, if all the bills are paid and the kids are healthy and everything's great, wonderful. But all of a sudden they find out, you know, the wife got cancer or the husband got laid off from the job and you're still serving God. You're still faithful to God. They go, well, look at that. How about that? Remember the story of when Paul and Silas were thrown into a Roman dungeon for preaching the gospel? The jailer whipped them, put them in stocks. And we read at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises to God. And it's interesting because it says, and the other prisoners were listening. And that phrase listening can be translated listening with pleasure. They hadn't heard many concerts in that hellhole. And what happens? An earthquake comes. Everyone could have run to their freedom, but they stayed there. And the jailer who was about to kill himself was stopped by Paul and said, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. And that man said, sir, what must I do to be saved? What set the stage? It was their worship. You know, when I was a non-Christian, there were Christians on my high school campus, and they had meetings out in the front lawn. In fact, all my friends warned me, Greg, stay away from the Jesus freaks. And I actually said, yeah, as if Greg Laurie would ever become a Jesus freak. Famous last words, right? One day I went to their meeting. No one invited me. I sat at a distance where I could kind of watch them and judge them and decide why they were all crazy. And the problem is, as I looked at their faces, I saw something I didn't have. And what were they doing? They were worshiping God. So, you know, your worship is a testimony. You can do it even if you don't feel like it. You don't think Job had problems when his family died and his possessions were gone and his health with it? But yet we read in Job 1:21, he fell to the ground and he worshiped and said, the Lord gave me what I had and the Lord has taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, worshiping God with other Christians helps put things in perspective. So I come to church today with a burden. Some of you have burdens right now. Something's really troubling you. Something big is happening to you. And you don't know what to do. So what does the Bible say? Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. It doesn't say magnify your problems. And when you magnify the Lord and see him in all of his glory, you can see your problem in its proper perspective. Worship can make all of the difference as we gather together with God's people and see things accurately, biblically, and correctly. You know, when you isolate yourself from other believers, you lose perspective. You can become fearful and confused and angry and bitter. Think of old skeptical Thomas, who after Jesus rose from the dead, didn't join the other Christians for their little worship service. He was very disillusioned. And they saw him afterwards and said, hey, Tom, you should have been there. Yeah, what happened? Jesus showed up. And that's implied in the original Greek where he actually said, no, he didn't. That's not. Now Jesus showed up, right? I'll believe that, says Thomas, if I can put my hand in the wound in his side and touch the holes in his hands. But next time they gathered together, guess who was there? Thomas. And guess who showed up again? Jesus. He always does when his people gather. And Jesus said, hey, Thomas, go for it. He says, oh, my Lord, my God. But here's my point. He missed out when he was separated from other believers. He received so much more when he joined with them. Asaph was grappling with the age-old question, why do the wicked prosper? But he got perspective while he worshiped with God's people in God's house. And he wrote in Psalm 73:16, when I tried to understand all of this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of the Lord and I understood their final destiny. So the point is, I didn't understand why things are the way they are. But when I gathered together for worship, I found perspective. Oh, there's a lot more to say, and I'll get to that next time. But I want to just say, we should be a part of the church. Why should we be a part of the church? Because it is here we hear the word of God. It is here we worship the Lord. It is here we receive untold spiritual benefits and sometimes even physical benefits. It's here that we encounter God. I heard about a 100-year-old man that was celebrating his birthday at church. He had actually attended that church ever since he'd been a little boy. So they threw a big party for him. Big cake, lots of cards, ice cream. And then they said, let's go into the sanctuary. And so everyone went in, and his great-grandson got up to the microphone. He turned it up really loud so his great-grandfather could hear. And he said, great-grandpa, we know you can barely hear or see, But tell us, why do you still go to church every Sunday? And great-grandpa said, because I love Jesus with all my heart, and he commanded me to be here. And then he paused for a moment and then said, and I just want to show everybody whose side I'm on. I like that. That's good. Whose side are you on? Well, you're on the Lord's side because you're here today. And I applaud you for that. And I hope you'll be here all the times we gather because you'll receive so much from it. But not everyone is on the Lord's side. People don't know the Lord at all. So this is the family of God. And here's the great thing about our family. You can join our family. You say, how? Well, you have to be born into it. Oh, you mean like raised in the church my whole life? No. You need to be born again. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what do you mean by born again, you might ask? Funny thing, someone asked Jesus that 2,000 years ago. What do you mean born again? What does that even mean? And Jesus said to that guy whose name was Nicodemus, he said, the wind blows where it will. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. And so Jesus was basically saying, look, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I don't even know what that means. It comes down to this. Would you like your sin forgiven? Would you like to know that you'll go to heaven when you die? Would you like your guilt removed? And would you like to join the family of God? You say, yes, I would. Then you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I pray for a spiritual rebirth in my life right now. That doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. It doesn't take weeks. It doesn't even take hours. It can happen in an instant for you right now. And we're going to close in prayer. And I'm going to extend an invitation for you to believe in Jesus if you don't yet, and have you then join the family of God, join our family. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. And now I pray for any that have joined us who may not yet know you. Help them, Lord, to see that the words we've shared are true. They are the gospel truth. And I pray for anyone here, anyone watching, listening, wherever they might be, if they don't know you yet, Lord, help them to come to you and believe, we pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an invitation to get your heart right with the Lord. And if you'd like to do that today, Pastor Greg will help you in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. But if you missed any portion of today's study, a message called How to Go to Church, you can hear the whole program again online at harvest.org, or download an MP3, or even order a CD. Again, go to harvest.org, or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, as an evangelist, you have a certain awareness of the questions that are often on people's minds.
Yeah.
You know, those issues of life that inevitably lead them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have a good awareness of the questions on the minds of those who've just recently come to Christ.
Yes.
And that's why your brand new Believer's Bible is such a great resource. You know the questions, and more importantly, you know how to point people to the answers.
Yeah, I think sometimes we make these things way too complicated for people. You know, we need to get down on a level where they understand. You know, the Bible says of Jesus, the common people heard him gladly. It's never my objective is when I teach or preach to go over the heads of people. Honestly, that's pretty easy to do. It takes more effort to make things understandable for people. But if I am not understood in what I'm saying, and more importantly, if God's truth is not understood, I'm kind of missing the mark. So you hear our broadcast here in New Beginning. You know what we do here every day. We teach the books of the Bible, talk about important topics. We invite people to come to Christ. So when people do come to Christ, we want to help them grow spiritually because, as I've said before, it's not enough to come forward. You need to go forward in your walk with the Lord. So we have a resource here that we want to offer. It's published by Tyndale House Publishers. They publish many fine books and great Bibles. And after years of scholarly research, they put together what is now known as the New Living Translation. So starting with that great foundational translation, We've developed this special project called the New Believer's Bible that's just chock full of hundreds and hundreds of notes that will help a person grow spiritually. Yes, it is a great resource for the new believer, but don't be misled. It's not only for the new believer. I think any believer will benefit greatly from what is in it. We go over the basics of the Christian life, like why is the Bible important? Why should we read the Bible? What is prayer? How do you pray? How can you pray more effectively? Why do I go through trials? What is the meaning of trials? How can I know the will of God? Oh, there's so much more that we deal with, and it's all found in the notes that are in this project we're offering to you right now called the New Believer's Bible. By the way, the earlier version of this has been out for years, and over 10 million people have bought copies of it, but this is a brand new edition. I went back and re-edited the notes I'd written before and added a whole lot of new ones as well. And now this is ready for you to get a copy of, and we're offering it to you now for your gift of any size. What does that mean? That means that whatever you send financially, we'll send you a copy of the New Believer's Bible. Some of you can send a little bit. That's all you can manage. That's okay. We'll get you a copy. Some of you can send a little more, and some of you could send a generous gift. But whatever you give, it will be used to continue to bring this radio broadcast to people literally all around the world. And as you know, on this show, A New Beginning, we invite people to come to Christ. And I'll tell you, friend, thousands of people do every year. And when you give to our ministry, you play a part in that and you share in the spiritual fruit of that. So I want to send you a copy of the New Believer's Bible for your gift of any size. And I hope that it will be a blessing to you.
Yeah, and we hope you'll contact us for a copy right away. And by the way, if you do contact us right away, we'll also include a companion resource we call Start to Follow. It's an extra publication where Pastor Greg walks you through the 7 key basics every believer needs to know. Great information. We'll send you both resources if you contact us right away with your donation of any size. So write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. And then, Pastor Greg, I know there are some in our audience who felt God speaking to them today through your message, and they want to make a change in their relationship with the Lord. Could you help them with that?
Yeah, you know, Dave, the Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer where you will be doing just that, calling on the name of the Lord. So listen, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life and take away your guilt and your shame, then just stop what you're doing and pray this prayer with me right now. Pray this after me if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your commandments. I have fallen short of your standards. But 2,000 years ago, you died on that cross for me. Then you rose again from the dead. So Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord and my God and my friend. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed along with Pastor Greg and you've meant those words sincerely, God has heard you and forgiven you of your sin. And we want to send you some materials to help you as you begin your new life as a follower of Christ. It's a collection of resources called the New Believer's Growth Packet. We'll send it without charge if you've made a first-time commitment to the Lord today. Just ask for it when you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go to harvest.org and click on Know God. Well, next time, Pastor Greg begins his final message in this short series, important information every churchgoer needs to have. We'll get started next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.